Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, your favorite king of Pasco County, the custodian of Canton, Ohio, the sage himself, Ira Kaufman, Uncle Ira. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan is with us, and this is the Ira Kaufman podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford. Tampa's very first family of Ford, 61 years, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Service, tremendous service department, body shop, and of course, the gorgeous showroom, new and used vehicles with the incredible Bill Curry Ford nationwide lifetime warranty. Check that out at BillCurryFord.com. And best of all, you can deal personally with Sean Sullivan, the GM, the big boss on campus, and he's Ira's friend. He's our friend. He's got the Ira Kaufman discount for you, and he's just got all the help that you could possibly want. He's your big brother, your loving big brother in the car business. Sean Sullivan, reach out to him by phone. You can catch his email at BillCurryFord.com when you're shopping around BillCurryFord.com. Sage, I want to remind everybody that they can listen to the podcast and subscribe and get that nice free alert at Google Podcasts, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, where you are a king over there by a million miles, about 1,400 subscribers on Podcast Addict alone, as well as your work at the other podcast platforms. But it's just a great way to get a free alert because you never know when the podcast is coming. We don't want to be predictable here. Sage, enough of me. How are you? I know you're heading off to Canton on Friday. What's up?
Steve, I've been thinking about our good friend Sean Sullivan, general manager of BillCurryFord.com. The up and downs of one Mr. Sean Sullivan. Now, the ups are, you know, they're doing great business over there for a reason. They got a great product. The other up for Sean Sullivan, who's one of the all-time great Buck fans, Steve, you would agree. You know, he wanted the Bucks to draft Joe Tryon, and he successfully tabbed Joe Tryon in his mock draft. So kudos for getting him at number 32. And Steve, one day, Bruce Arians, Steve, he can't stop talking about Joe Tryon. And I mentioned it on the podcast the other day, the fact that Arians was actually singling him out for a variety of moves, which, to me, going into a rookie season is always the first question you ask, Steve, about a rookie defensive pass rusher. How many moves does he have? Because we've seen too many one-dimensional pass rushers come through one buck places, rookies, and they fizzle out and they never make it. Yes, I'm talking about you, Daquan Bowers. There's been others. You know, Arians is waxing poetic about Joe Tryon, and I'm getting, you know, texts from Sean Sullivan. That away, Bruce. This guy Tryon's going to get the job done. He's going to be a big contributor in 2021. And lo and behold, Mr. Isbitz, the next day, Arians goes out of his way to tell the assembled media that looking at the film, Joe Tryon essentially, Steve, cheated his butt off. He cheated. He did not honor gap integrity, Mr. Isbitz, and that helped him put a lot of pressure on the Buck quarterbacks in training camp with the pads on, and Arians giveth and Arians taketh away. And you can just imagine Sean Sullivan reading those second quotes from Arians. It's hysterical, Steve, hysterical.
Well, what's hysterical, Ira, is that I was the one who asked him, just almost the way you laid it out. I said, hey, coach, you had all these great things to say about Joe Tryon. When you looked at the film, did it back it up, or what exactly did you see? Now, he didn't knock Joe Tryon, the pass rusher, the edge rusher, which is a big reason he was drafted. Let's be clear about that. He didn't take away any of that love, but he did say that, hey, rookie, you're not playing the run, and you're not going to play much if you don't play the run in this team. So it was classic Arians sort of throwing a little cold water. Maybe he went overboard the first day. Maybe he was a little hard on him when I asked him. But I did that just to see what he was going to say, and he dialed it back a little bit. But It wasn't bad, and this is the time where you learn how to play the run. Okay, so you have a week where you're used to cheating because that's what you did in college and you could get away with it. I think all the excitement is still there for Joe Tryon, Ira. It was just a fun, kind of funny moment, you know, early August, August 1st, here in Arians, you know, sort of let the air out of the balloon on Joe Tryon being a next Hall of Famer right now.
You're right, Steve, and, you know, it's funny. It was a very... It was an innocuous-sounding question by you. Hey, Coach, what'd the film show? But as usual, you were kind of on the mark. And Steve, given the answer that he gave you, which was provocative, it was almost like you were set up to ask that question. Is it so? I might as well ask you in honor of Buck Nation. Did somebody in the front office or the coaching staff reach out to Steve Isbitz? Make sure you ask Coach Arians about the film of Joe Tryon. That's kind of the way it came off, Isbitz.
Yeah, when I was in there at 6:30 in the morning having cognac and waffles with Arians, he said, "Hey, Steve, do me a solid. Can you ask that?" Of course not, Ira. Come on. Don't be ridiculous. Has that ever happened to me before? As somebody said, "Hey, why don't you ask me this?" It's been a few years, but yes, that has happened to me. From the inner bowels of One Buck Palace. But no, that doesn't happen very often, Ira. All right, listen, Ira, let's get over to Lee DeCamper. But in honor of Lee, let's remind everybody that Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. That means we all endorse it because we all drink it. It's Florida's best craft beer. If you haven't tried it yet, that's fine. Go out and try it. Get to a Big Storm tap room in Clearwater, 49th Street, 3,000 square foot outdoor covered seating, beautiful patio, beautiful live music schedule. You can get that on Facebook if you follow them, and a beautiful indoor tap room there. And then there are tap rooms in Odessa off State Road 54, Cape Coral, Orlando at the Amway Center is a very popular place. It's at the Amway Center, but you don't have to be going to an event. You can park and be there 7 days a week. And they've got more locations coming, Ira. Big Storm Beer, though. Drink the beer. It's in stores. Get to BigStormBrewery.com. Stick in your zip code, and they'll tell you where to buy the beer. All right, let's get to the in-house connoisseur of beer. Lee?
All right, I put my palm bender from Big Storm Beer down for a moment. I got this beer, this palm bender, sort of like a congratulations to Todd Bowles. He got his extension today. He's with the Bucks for three more years. And I dare say that he might be leading the pack as Bruce Arians' successor someday with the Bucks. Your thoughts?
I think you're right. You're right on, Lee. You're right on. I think, and this contract is not going to bind him from moving on from a coordinator job to a head coach job, even if it's not with the Bucks next year. If he gets a head coach job, it probably depends on the job because he might have an understanding, Lee, and that's the important point. He might have an understanding with Arians, who talks to the Glazers, that he is the heir apparent. And, you know, from a Glazer perspective, guys, tell me what you think, but I believe from a Glazer perspective, Bowles, I think, is the more credible candidate than Leftwich to replace Arians. I think he is, and I'll tell you why. Two things. One, he's got a little experience. Now, look, those last few years in New York weren't very good, but history tells us you can't win at that job. I mean, terrible ownership. A lot of people have tried, turned them around, can't do it. So Bowles, he might get what we call in the old Brooklyn schoolyards, he might get a Hindu. You know what a Hindu is? A duel. And number two, and I think this is a factor. I still think, you know, well, we got to pick Arian's successor in a year or two. You know, I think he's going to last as long as Brady's around. I do. And then, like, hey, Bowles is definitely in charge of his defense. There's no questions about it. There's nobody else involved. Whereas, you know, with Leftwich, always in the back of Glazer's mind, then why wouldn't it be? You know, Arians' pedigree is on the offensive side. Always has been. He's involved. Now, I think that Leftwich and Brady have a very tight relationship. And I don't think Leftwich is a figurehead. I don't believe that. But from a Glazer perspective, I think Bowles is the next guy if things go the way they're going.
Well, I am just, I'm beside myself. I almost want to quit the podcast right now. I don't even know what to say. I'm just at a loss for words. Ira, you know what? You can say that the Jets have horrible ownership and they don't know what they're doing and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? Woody Johnson took over and somehow Al Groh went 9-7. And then in comes Herm Edwards and he has no problem making the playoffs. And in comes Rex Ryan and he's in back-to-back AFC title games. And in comes Todd Bowles and has a great first year. But then it all falls apart under Mr. Bowles. And so I just can't just write off, oh, it's the Jets. They never do anything. The Bucs have had far worse situations. And I'm going to sit here and wait while you guys tell me after 4 years, somebody from the Todd Bowles coaching tree, and a big part of being a head coach in this league is hiring good head coaches, picking the right guys. Who from the Todd Bowles New York Jets head coaching tree has shined?
Casey Rogers.
Casey Rogers was the defensive coordinator for Bowles, and his defense quit under him, and nobody else in the league wanted him.
And he comes to the Bucs, and look what he does with that team.
He's coaching five guys on a defensive line. Doesn't even have the outside linebackers. I'm not going to say that the guy's a bad coach at all, but I don't think he's part of the coaching tree.
Steve, I just think that the Glazers are going to look at Bowles in a couple of years and say, we think we have a dominant defense. We have the pieces in place now. At that point, JPP and Levante David may not be around. And Sue, they may not. But I think for continuity's sake, in terms of that defense, which I think is going to have to carry the Bucsley in the post-Brady era, there will be a post-Brady era. We don't know when the hell it's going to be, but there will be one, Lee. And it ain't going to be 10 years from now.
And the post-Brady era is going to take a major leader as the head coach, a guy who really knows what the hell he's doing, who can transform a culture or maintain one after Tom Brady leaves, the ultimate culture guy, and Bruce Arians, who may be a Hall of Fame coach when he walks out the door. I see no evidence to see that Todd Bowles is going to have an offensive plan, which is going to have to satisfy the Glazers. And he's going to be stuck with, not stuck, I mean, in a good way, he'll be stuck with a loaded receiving core. He should be when Arians walks out the door. That's going to take a sharp offensive mind. Scoring points is what this league is all about. I'm not against defense, but I see no evidence to see that Todd Bowles is going to know how to hire an offensive coach unless Leftwich sticks around, which they'd be lucky if that was the case. But I don't know. I want them to go hire the best coach available. I'm not into this handoff. It sounds nice, but if Arians leaves and Tom Brady leaves, it's a totally different team. Maybe Sean McVay will be done with the Rams by then, go out and get an offensive genius, and that's the way I would go.
I'm not saying that door's closed, but when you got a guy that's done the job he has, and here's something we're overlooking. I think it's going to be a factor. How much involved is Arians going to be when he retires? I get the impression he's having a blast, and he always jokes, and I think it's a joke that he doesn't do much. I think he does more than he leads on because he doesn't want to, you know, undercut Leftwich and or Bowles. I have a hunch he's going to be a consultant with the Bucs. So, Steve, I don't disagree with your point. You know, someone's going to have a plan for that offense. I think Arians is going to have a hand in that as a quote-unquote consultant. He's not going to be here every day, but I think he's going to have his hand in the mix some way, somehow. And the Glazers, look how the Glazers rewarded Chucky. You know, all that time with Dungy, they couldn't get the job done with Dungy. They get Chucky, he gets the job done, and they basically handed him the keys of the franchise. You pick your general manager, you pick the players you want, it's your team. You proved yourself. And if we're going to go, if I'm going to go by past history, that's what the Glazers did with Chucky. I assume that's what the Glazers are going to do with Arians and his disciples.
It's an interesting discussion, gentlemen, but in the words of Lee DeCamper, can we focus on the 2021 Bucks, gentlemen? Can we? I believe we can.
Absolutely, Ira. Absolutely. It just drives me nuts when people say you can't win with the Jets, Woody Johnson, terrible owner. All these other people did. Stop making excuses for Todd Bowles.
Well, I heard the ever popular NFL source, who's a management guy, told me the GM, I can't remember his name, that was over Bulls, was a complete and total joke. The guy got fired about a year and a half ago. He said nobody would have won there. He goes, Vince Lombardi would have struggled with the guy because he was completely clueless about talent evaluation. And, you know, you could be a damn good coach, but if you don't have the horses, you're not going to do anything.
Steve, as we commit this to tape, Stephen, am I of the understanding that Gerald McCoy has landed in Vegas? Is that true?
Yep.
Oh, my. You know what? I'll say this right. I'll say it right
now. Wait a minute. I just so we understand that he's going to be a Raider, a Vegas Raider. I know some of our listeners, the anti-McCoy crowd, might think he got a job as a Rockette or as a showgirl or something like that. Go ahead.
That's a bad team. Lee, that's a bad football team. And Gruden's luster, the luster's gone, Lee. It's gone. It's totally gone. I mean, the Super Bowl is, two decades old. Nobody's talking about that. Boom, boom. Those old videos, you can throw them out and bury them in the deep blue sea, for all I care. Gruden's a 500 football coach. Lee?
Not even with the Raiders.
Got the Chiefs there. The Chargers are good with that good young quarterback.
Yeah.
And the Raiders, to me, are going nowhere. It's a job for Gerald McCoy. Good for him. But that defense stinks, and that team's going nowhere.
You would think Mark Davis for $10 million could find someone that could get him 9 wins.
Man, I'm telling you. And Mayock is going to take the fall, right, Steve? Mayock will be the first guy to go overboard.
Well, look, I don't think the Gerald McCoy signing is going to change the Raiders' outcome for this season. Some people would say they've got a lot of good young talent that just has to take another step. And, we'll see what that really looks like. You know, Derek Carr obviously should be so knowledgeable and so in tune with Gruden's system at this point. They got a good running game, and there's no more excuses there. They really need to win. Any other coach would be fired there without a 9-7 season this year. But if they can't do that, Chucky's still going to be back. So, who knows?
Make that 10-7, Steve. 10-7, baby.
10-7. There you go, Sage. You're helping. I'm still all shaken up thinking about Todd Bowles as head coach. I don't know what to do. The man brought in Josh McCown to be and let him be his starting quarterback. I'm sorry. For 2 years, they looked at the guy. After the debacle in this town, and then he brought in a Seferian Jenkins. I've got the shakes. All right,
guys. Was it Bowles or was it the idiot general manager?
Well, Bowles put him on the field. He put him on the field. I mean, it's the quarterback. He could have spoken up to the New York media and said, I'm not playing Josh McCown, and they would have applauded him, and he wouldn't have been fired for that.
That's true.
Steve, I'm going to lead you beautifully, like a pulling guard, like a Jerry Kramer. I'll say it again, at the expense of being pilloried by Buck Nation, we're strong on this podcast. Nobody intimidates us, gentlemen. We're approaching 2 weeks into training camp. And a fact of which Lee DeKemper is very happy about, which means that training camp's almost over. And guys, let's be brutally honest here, as we are on the nation's number one Buck podcast. Things could not have gone any better for this football team in the last 10 days. I mean, they just can't. They just can't. And guys are falling apart all over the league. They're pulling muscles. They're pulling calf muscles. They're tearing ACLs. Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to be there. There's other things going on. Philadelphia is a mess. Indianapolis is a mess. And here's the good ship Buccaneer. Lee, an uneventful camp. It's the most beautiful word in the world for a Buck fan. It's uneventful. And that is gorgeous.
It's gorgeous if you're not in business. No drama. There's no position battles. Everybody's back. Coaches, players, starters. The only remote story of the training camp is what's going on with Joe Tryon. One day he's lauded as next JVP, and the next day he's a stiff that won't follow orders. So,
when's Cameron Brate coming back? I mean, we were talking about the number two and number three tight end on the roster. I mean, that's what we're reduced to.
That's good. That's good, guys. Look, there's plenty of time for drama. Well, you know, I'm not looking for the drama, and preseason games will inevitably bring the drama. We didn't have those last year. If you're looking for a little more sizzle in your training camp, somebody fumbles in preseason, all of a sudden the world changes. Tyler Johnson drops a pass and doesn't know where to go, and all of a sudden people are calling for him to get cut after what's happened to him. Giovanni Bernard, runs for 300 yards, and all of a sudden the running back battle looks totally different, or Keyshawn Vaughn blows up and people are talking. I don't know, guys, but it looks like, Ira, at this point, with Tom Brady and his history in the preseason and saying what I think is a bit of BS, saying that he hasn't talked to Arians yet about the preseason, and I'm sure they've talked about everything.
Yeah.
You know, that would be under the 90% of things that isn't really forthright from Tom Brady. It looks like they're going to play starters in preseason, whether we like it or not. And they're going to get some work, get some time, and get some confidence. And, we'll hold our breath. But so far, so good. And I got to think that some of that goes to how Arians and his staff are managing these guys' bodies.
I know we got a long way to go, but at this point, Lee, the Bucs have handled this COVID thing about as well as any team in this league. And you got to give them credit. And I think it starts with Arians pushing that message, Lee, to be vigilant. Don't be the guy. Don't be the guy. Backed up by Brady, of course. But the facts are the facts, Lee. The Bucs have done a wonderful job, trying to tamp down any chance of an outbreak. They've done a great job.
Yeah, I don't know who to credit. I don't want to credit Arians, Brady. I mean, the players said last year several times they didn't want to be that guy to give the virus to Brady. So maybe that's it. I'm not sure. But however they're doing it, props to them.
It's a good point, Ira. It's a fair point. But I think it's open for discussion, because if the Bucs had a COVID outbreak tomorrow, Ira, I wouldn't blame them for their poor management of the virus. I would just say they had bad luck, because so much of this stuff is luck. It's just like everybody who gets COVID out there, it's not because they weren't being careful. So I don't know. I can't give them a lot of kudos there. I'd say probably 26 out of 32 teams last year were every bit as diligent, just not everybody had the same success.
And Steve, here's another example of how placid this camp has been. And again, I don't want to put a jinx on them, but Steve, when we're talking about the number five receiver, Tyler Johnson, and that's if this rookie doesn't take his spot at number five, but right now he's number five. All right. And for a day and a half, we're talking about the number five receiver came in a little bit out of shape. I mean, Lee, doesn't that say everything you need to know about this freaking camp? And,
well, you just said something I didn't need to know. That shouldn't that be discussed with your doctor?
No, Lee, that's flaccid, not placid with a P.
Steve, in Indianapolis, they don't know who the freaking quarterback is. And they're, the season opener's a month away. They don't know who's on the center. So
Jacob Eason.
Everything is relative, and right now the Bucs couldn't have asked for a better the off season. The historical off season continues.
Yeah, it was kind of fun yesterday, Ira, that Chris Godwin, he had talked a little bit about Antonio Brown, and I asked him. I said, "But this is the first training camp with Brown. What's the difference? I know you're talking about him, but what's the difference?" And he was very clear that Brown just brings a lot more energy, and he's very enthusiastic about helping young players. And Godwin's picking his brain. And Godwin told NFL Network that Lee and I were joking about this before the podcast. Michael Irvin got all boring in, as you would say, Ira, on Chris Godwin to try to find out, man, you guys are better than I am. You're just better people. I'd be demanding the ball And, you know, there's so many mouths to feed with the Bucks. And did you guys sit down and have a discussion about this and work it out amongst yourselves, like a real sit down, you know, to talk about getting the Rock and stuff? And Godwin said no, but he did admit that they had informal discussions where they would, the three of them did get together, and that their lockers were all next to each other last year. And remember, and it's worth noting because, you know, when we're in the locker room, which we weren't last year, you get a little sense of the dynamic of the team. You know whose locker is next to who seems to be chatting it up, and you have a better feel. But Godwin revealed that his locker is next to Antonio Brown and Evans, and that they sat around and chatted about just that we got to put egos aside, and that Antonio Brown's all on board with that, and he's just a high-energy contagious team player. And, you know, maybe having that all the way through training camp will make some sort of difference. I don't know, Ira.
Well, I'm not, you know, Lee, I'm not overly concerned about the diva angle on the Bucks. 2 points. One, Lee, I think Evans sets the tone. I do. And he sets the tone for Godwin, who's still a young receiver in this league. And Mike Evans has never been, to my knowledge, Lee, an outwardly selfish player. Now, Lee, we don't know what goes on behind closed doors of the locker room. We don't. But, Lee, the point I'm trying to make is the real divas, the real receiver divas, are very public in their frustration. They're sullen. They go into a funk if they're not getting the ball. Mike Evans just doesn't do it, Lee. He doesn't do it. And I think he gets a lot of credit for setting the tone in that room. And two, I think, Lee, if Brown goes off the rails, if he does, and I don't think he will, but if he does, I think he's history, and Arians will be all over him, and Brady, at the moment of truth, will side with Arians. He will not side with Brown, and he will say, this guy's got to go. And I think that's good news for Buck fans. I don't think that's going to happen. But if Brady has to decide between this franchise and his friendship with Brown, Brown loses.
Well, what's interesting is, by the way, there's a perfect word, I think, Ira, when you're talking about diva receivers and they get into a funk if they don't get the ball enough. I think the word is pout.
Yes.
They pout. Yes. Here's what's interesting about Antonio Brown. He comes in with this ugly image. He quit on the Steelers. He quit. There's no way around it. He quit on the Steelers. He quit on the Raiders. He became such a nuisance. I'm being polite when I say that. He was such a nuisance with the Raiders because he wanted to get thrown off the team. He wanted to go to New England. But what I've seen the last couple of practices, I never got a chance to see this when they practice outside. Maybe because there's a lot of commotion. Maybe because the fans hoot and holler. But I never saw this. I'd never heard this. But indoors, when it's really quiet, you hear it. I mean, you hear it. Whenever Antonio Brown catches the ball, he is having fun. He's laughing. He's hollering. Woo! Like that. One time he ran through the defense, he zigzagged through the defense after he caught a bomb from Brady. He's yelling, let's effing go. This is great. Yeah. I mean, the guy's like, he's on fire, man. He literally is having a blast. He's having fun. And I think that change of personality from a dour, sour, surly guy to this, oh my gosh, I'm so happy to be playing football. He's like a guy in the backyard playing football. And I think that enthusiasm is contagious, not to, you know, not like a virus, but is contagious. And I think other teams, Godwin has talked about this, I think other players, teammates are picking up on this and it's rubbing off on them. He's having a blast out there. He's like a little kid out there, and maybe he realized what he missed, and it's like, you know, this might be my last chance. So have fun.
He does. Lee's making a great point, Steve. Brown's bringing a lot of energy. He's bringing a lot of bounce to training camp. And, Steve, it's not that long ago. I think it was 2 years ago when he quit on the Steelers. Steve, when he quit, I think he scored 15 touchdowns that season. 15. That's a huge number. Mike Evans never scored 15 receiving touchdowns. Very few guys have. And I thought he had an off year that season with the Steelers. But I believe he caught 15 touchdowns. And he's not that far removed from elite. Is he a Hall of Famer? I think I could vote for him, Steve. I think I could vote for him. The guy might have been the best receiver in football for 3, 4, 5 years. To me, that's a Hall of Famer. So, looking good. He's in great shape. And he's going to have a good year, Steve.
Ira, I can only liken the energy that he brings to training camp. Really, two things come to mind. One, you sitting in the 11th row when Bette Midler comes out. You know, that would be one. I guess number two is when they refill the chocolate fountain at Golden Corral. And, you know, you got your strawberries.
You're in rare form tonight, Isvitz. You're in rare form, baby.
Well, listen, I already get a little more serious, though, to get a little more serious. It's August. There are three storms in the Atlantic right now. Far away, but three in the Atlantic to remind everybody of what's going on. And this is the time to have a plan, Ira. And your plan, if you have a disaster at your home, be it a hurricane or a flood or a fire or just some mold that you find in your garage, maybe you're doing a little remodeling or you're cleaning it out and you're like, oh my gosh, what's back there? I must have a leak in my roof that I don't know about. This is when you have to be ready, and that's to call Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration, family-owned, our friends, floridaselite-restoration.com. They're going to give you a free assessment in your home before you make that call to the insurance company that maybe you don't even might not need to make. And then you've got a claim of damage against your record that it wasn't a big deal and Florida's Elite Restoration could have fixed it. Or you call them and they run you into a mess and Florida's Elite Restoration could have managed them for you. After they gave you a free assessment, they could have helped you with the insurance company. You can't mess around and have a plan in case the storm comes. And that's to call Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7 so they can get out there and help you, Ira, because that's just what they want to do, is to help.
Steve, two quick observations. One, I find it fascinating that you are watching Dennis Phillips like a hawk and you are monitoring the Caribbean basin for impending storms. That's outstanding, Isbitz. Outstanding. Number two, as far as Florida's Elite Restoration, it's a fantastic company. We know people that have used them extensively. Can't say enough about them. And Steve, on the subject of mold, I mean, some things you can let go. You know, your cabinets get a little bit out of alignment. The screen on your windows a little shaky. All right, no big deal. You can't do that with this kind of mold situation. Steve, a lot of times it's not a big deal, but you got to have a peace of mind. And if you let it go past a certain point, nobody can help you without a lot of expense. So your first call goes to Florida's Elite Restoration. Call them before you call your insurance company, Florida's Elite Restoration.
Right on, Sage. And I want to bring this up since you guys were talking about Mike Evans. You were talking about him and his lack of, and it all starts with him and Ira in not being a diva, setting the tone, being a team first guy. We've all heard it before, but I think if he were going to be that diva, I think he really played it right and just showed his true colors last year when his 1,000-yard season was seriously in jeopardy and the team was starting to struggle. And I'm going to read you these numbers, guys. These are the last 8 games of Mike Evans before the bye week. Total yards, 41, 10, 37, 55, 64, 77, 49, 50. Those would get a lot of receivers who desperately want an NFL record and who believe they're the number one guy to be screaming and to be crying and to make some even just, you know, backhanded comments. We got none of that. And Evans really showed who he is in what might have been the toughest stretch of his career.
And give me his numbers from that point on, Steve.
110 yards, 181 yards, 46 yards. And then, of course, came the playoffs, Ira. And Evans went for 119, 3, and then 51 and 31 in the Super Bowl. One catch in that Super Bowl, and it was a big one.
You know, Lee, I can just hear some Buck fans. You know, there's always a few. Hey, who says that? Who says Mike Evans doesn't bitch behind closed doors to Arians, to Leftwich? Certainly, he's not going to say anything to Brady. He's too smart for that. But Lee, Lee, my sense, and I think yours too. I don't think he does, Lee. I don't think there was. I don't think there's a Buccaneer that was more pissed off about the losing than Mike Evans. I think he's number one in my book. You know, look, it didn't sit well with Levante David. I understand that. But Evans, he bristled. He seethed over all those losing seasons. That's why the championship meant so much to Mike Evans.
And you're right. I think it was Evans. If anyone within the Bucs organization, or at least players, was going to complain about losing, it would have been Evans more so than Levante. Levante is not a rock the boat kind of guy. That's why when he took to Twitter after the night Lovey got fired, everybody was so shocked. Like, whoa, Levante said this? Whoa, what's going on here? But I forgot. I was going to say something about Evans. But yeah, you're right, Ira.
Ira, I'm excited for you. Our fans of the podcast know that you are going to the Hall of Fame this weekend. John Lynch enshrined on Sunday. Big party that you're excited to attend on Saturday. And I'm sure you'll be breathing on everybody there and doing your thing. But on Sunday, Ira, we learned that Tom Brady is going to be attending the enshrinement ceremonies, essentially honoring Peyton Manning. He'll be in attendance with Bruce Arians, with Clyde Christensen. This gives you an opportunity, Ira, to walk over and finally get to meet Tom Brady in the way that you want to meet Tom Brady. Yes, you saw him at Bruce Arians' foundation dinner.
Fundraiser.
But yeah, this might be your chance, Ira. Nobody can hold you back. There's not going to be any Bucks media czar there saying, Ira, don't go within 6.5 feet of Tom Brady. So this is your chance, big guy.
Yeah, the schmooze factor is definitely elevated this weekend, Lee, definitely. And it's interesting, Lee, before Buck fans get too excited, Brady's not going there, you know, for John Lynch. Now, he's going to be there for John Lynch's induction, and I believe, now Lynch goes number 4 out of the 7, and I believe Manning's number 3. So Lynch's speech is right after Manning's, and, you know, I don't expect Tom Brady to get up and say, let's get the hell out of here before John Lynch's speech, and Manning's probably got a party maybe that night, and, you know, if he does, Brady will probably go. And Arians, you know, isn't necessarily going for John Lynch. Arians never coached John Lynch, but he's got the ties with Manning. So, you know, a lot of Manning ties. Now, funny enough, Lee, I've gotten a lot of quotes from Manning over the years about John Lynch. Those two have a very tight relationship. They faced each other several times. Of course, there was that famous Monday night meltdown. We'll never forget it, Lee. 2003. Probably wrecked the Buck defending championship season. I don't think they ever really recovered from that mentally. No. And that was Peyton Manning, yes, under center, on Dungy's birthday, and that was John Lynch patrolling the Buck secondary along with Rondé Barber on a night Buck fans will never forget. But Manning and Lynch have a very, very tight bond. I believe the Bucks are off Sunday. Lee, am I correct? I think they're off Sunday.
Yeah,
I do. So, yeah, there's no media availability.
So, you know, they're gonna hop on a plane, and it'll be a quick jaunt. But I think it's great. Now, Lynch is having a party Saturday night. I don't expect Arians and Brady at that party, but if they are, I'll have to snap a few pictures for Joe Bucks fan and see what I can do.
Better for an interview though. That would be great if you had a one-on-one with Brady.
Oh, boy, I can't. I don't think he knows who I am. You know, Lee, to think that after a year and a half, the GOAT doesn't know the Sage, I got a problem with that, Lee. I got a problem.
All right. Bring your tape recorder, Ira. That's all I got to say.
I'm bringing two, Lee. I'm bringing two.
Yeah.
And don't forget your phone is also, you know, most of us are in the 21st century. The phone is a tape recorder. Remember that.
Hey, Lee. Lee, I had to scan something the other day on an email, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I had to go into a AT&T place for help. I don't know what I'm doing, Lee.
What, you need a screenshot in your phone?
Yeah, some kind of scan, and you scan this, figure, symbol.
Oh, yeah, like menus in restaurants now?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like taking a picture. It's like taking a picture.
Which fork to use over here is, but I don't know these things.
Next week, Ira, you can review how to open a PDF file. We'll go over that with you. All right, now, Sage.
Editing a PDF file is a pain in the ass. I'll say that.
There you go.
Ira, bottom line is there's no way Brady and Arians are going to be at that party for John Lynch because that violates the NFL virus protocols, and there'll
That's
be
right.
pictures everywhere, and they're not going to do that. Arians, he's captain of beating the virus. He's not going to do it. So, but Sunday they'll be walking around, I'm sure, and, doing all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure there'll be some breaks in the ceremony as well, just for the fans that aren't going to sit there for nonstop for 10 hours or whatever it is, 12 hours without moving, getting up and walking around. So you'll have your shot, I think, a little bit of shot. Or you could always ask Team Glazer on Saturday night, say, hey, can you connect me with Tom on Sunday? We got faith in you.
I wonder if Mike Tomlin would show up on Sunday. I wonder. I don't know what's going on in the field again. He coached John Lynch. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering whether Mike Tomlin's going to show up.
I can't remember the guy's name. The famous defensive coordinator for the Steelers forever.
Dick LeBeau.
When Dick LeBeau was inducted in the Hall of Fame, Tomlin brought the entire Steelers team there.
So, Ira, do you have a prediction? Ira, you got a prediction. We've seen Bruce Arians, all the different things he's focused on so far in camp, all the messages he's wanted to put out there through the media, of course, indirectly to his team, and all the stuff he said. He still hasn't done a national interview other than NFL Network, which I think is calculated by Arians. He's just trying to stay focused, doesn't want to talk about last year, and he knows that if he goes on a radio show, they're going to ask him all about the Super Bowl, and he'll look like a hypocrite when he's telling everybody to pretend it doesn't exist. So I like that about him. I like that he's being consistent there. But is there something you expect in the next week from Arians, a theme, anything we're going to hear, a prediction about something he says about a player, anything at all?
Steve, I think the Arians theme will continue throughout training camp. And that is temper and praise. And I think the perfect example was Joe Tryon. He read the quotes the next day. He probably thought to himself, did I really say all that about a rookie? I better bring him back down to earth. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to do it throughout training camp. He knows that these players listen to everything he says. And he tries to talk to the team a lot of times through the media. And Arians is all about keeping a lid on guys feeling too good about themselves in this training camp. And that's going to continue. He will not go overboard with praise about this football team. And it's all a very deliberate plan.
Yeah, Arians is old school like that.
Lee, didn't Phil Simms and some other Giants used to say that Parcells would piss all over him after a win more than after a loss? I think they did say that.
I believe that. I'll quote Mike Francesa. Those two guys got along because those two guys were spitting images of each other. Knight would do that too, only he was doing it 10 years before Parcells did. Do you believe Parcells, 1 year, actually worked for Knight?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, first off, they were roommates at Army. When he coached at Army. And then when Knight took over the basketball job, they weren't making much money. Parcells was always looking for extra money, and obviously Parcells had a little bit of a basketball background, and Knight said, hey, you want to work for me for one off-season? Off-season meaning football. You want to work for me? I could sure use your help. And Parcells said, yeah. So 1 year, he was like an assistant coach at Army, and he would go on road games. I remember Knight talking about how Parcells nearly started the brawl with a fan one night.
Steve, along those lines, the next time, if there is a next time that you think I write a decent column, you got to bore into me and you got to bring me down to earth, Nisbet. You got to do it.
Well, Ira, I think it's obvious there is no bringing you down to earth. We have slapped the Sage nickname on you. It will stick forever. Before we get out of here, of course, we got to thank Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, BillCurryFord.com. That's the website. Start shopping there. And if you don't want to shop, if you're just frustrated by looking around and you have questions, call Sean Sullivan, the GM. He's going to talk to you. He's going to answer him. He's going to treat you like a friend. Sean Sullivan, Bill Curry Ford. And Big Storm Beer, as we talked about before, official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Try a Bromosa today. And be ready. Florida's Elite Restoration. If anything happens in your home, they are your first phone call. Florida's Elite Restoration. .com. Ira, just sticking with hardcore football here, what we've heard about what's going on in the field, you know, we've talking about the temperate praise and the battling between the players here, and you know, we've read about Brady's meltdowns, and it's very competitive. Arians talked about the competition level with NFL Network. He talked about how smooth everything is running, like you said. He talked about how they don't even have staff meetings anymore because everybody knows what they're supposed to do and who the hell needs a meeting. I think most of Bucs Nation would love to work for a guy like Arians. It's what a great situation he's forged here. Ira,
Steve, here's one thing that I think I'm looking at in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to think Leonard Fournette is going to get vaccinated. I think Fournette will get vaccinated.
Right.
I think the Bucs are going to wear him down. I think Arians is going to wear him down. Professionally speaking, it's to his benefit. And Lee, I would argue, health-wise, it would also be to his benefit. I think Fournette's going to get vaccinated.
I want your feedback on this. When Arians said this, I swear he was talking to you.
Lee, real quick, let me just throw in here in case you're changing the topic a little bit. I'm glad you brought that up, Ira, only because when Ronald Jones the other day met the media, he said that he had an appointment to be vaccinated. And my first thought was, oh, if Ronald Jones gets vaccinated, I bet you playoff Lenny's thinking, I want the job, and maybe I didn't get vaccinated because Rojo wasn't, so what do I need to get vaccinated for? That was my first thought.
That's a great point, Steve.
Here you go, Ira. Arian said this week, and I swear he was targeting you, for lack of a better term.
Was he talking about somebody losing 11 pounds at the Kemper?
Well, this guy makes you lose 11 pounds just thinking about it. Arians was asked about his confidence level with one Blaine Gabbert. And Arians reacted as if he's got Joe Montana in the wings.
Why you got to go there, DeKemper? Why you got to go there?
Well, I know that you're on his crusade to rid the Bucs of Gabbert. And it looks like as long as Arians has a say-so on his roster, it ain't happening. He's going to be on the team.
You know, it's funny that Lee brings that up because I heard the same quotes. Steve, if you took the name Blaine Gabbert out of that paragraph of quotes from Arians, you would have thought he's talking about Dan Marino. I mean, what the hell's going on here?
I can't hear another Blaine Gabbert rant. We look forward to the preseason when Gabbert hits the field, and you will just dive a little bit deeper into your Big Storm wings and your Big Storm beer. All right, get out of here, Sage. We're wishing you safe travels to the Hall of Fame. We are fired up to get your reports. The pressure's on you, Ira. We've put the pressure on you. Lee and I cut you a check. We're expecting a little production out there, Sage. Otherwise, you're going to have to play in the third preseason game.
See you next week, boys.